Isaiah, the chapters 40. Isaiah, the chapters 40. Let's look at verses 28 through verse number 31. The Bible says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The lesson topic for this morning is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we can get in a hurry, and God has to remind us that we got to wait on the Lord, that we got to make sure that we wait on the Lord. It has often been said that patience is a virtue. Simply stated, and understanding that what that means is that we got to understand that patience is a high moral standard that you have to exhibit in your life. That you got to work to that thing. That the emphasis is on the word grown, because patience doesn't happen overnight. Patience ain't like instant oatmeal or instant grits. That ain't what patience is. Patience happens over time. That God works with us and he molds us and moves us to the place where we become patient. Because God has to teach us how to be patient. And of course, the question begs to be answered, that how do I learn to be patient? How do I learn, Brother Nelson, to wait on the Lord? And I got to help you understand that that's an area where I struggle in my own life. If I can be transparent with you, that I'm not always the most patient person, that I'm not always the one who exercises patience, but I've learned that when you go through life, God will teach you how to be patient, and he'll teach you how to wait on him. See, here's where I struggle. I don't know about y'all, but this is where I struggle, that sometimes when I'm sitting in traffic, I have a hard time being patient. Why everybody stopping? Why they looking over there? They ain't got nothing to do with them. That let's keep on moving. So I struggle in that area. I'm just being honest with y'all. I struggle when I'm stuck in traffic. I struggle sometimes when I'm ordering food at a restaurant and it seems like it takes too long. How long do it take to cook a hamburger? Do it take 25 minutes? I mean, what's going on back there? I think you stick them fries in the grease and bring them on. So I struggle in that area. Standing in line at the grocery store. If you in line at the grocery store, do you know that you got about to pay? Do you know that you need to have your checkbook out if you write the check? Do you not know that you need to have your money ready? Do you need to look and make sure and add up to it? Listen, let's get it moving. I'm struggling. Let me just be honest with you. I struggle in traffic. I struggle in the restaurant. I struggle at the grocery store. But God has taught me that I've got to be patient in those moments when I don't feel like waiting. And two things he's taught me. That one thing, I have to enjoy the moment. The other one is I got to be grateful. That's what's helped me, and I'm trying to help y'all this morning. As we walk through life, as God is trying to teach us how to be patient, number one, the way that we wait on God and be more patient is that we got to enjoy the moment, and we got to be grateful. So in traffic, I'm driving to Chattanooga on Friday. My son playing football, and I'm driving to Chattanooga. And so listen, Chattanooga time is an hour ahead of us. So I'm driving and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be late for my son's game. And it's raining and it's foggy. And of course, everybody except for me is driving slow. And so I'm struggling here. I'm struggling. I'm saying to myself, I got to get to my son's game. But listen, y'all, I got to the game and I was 20 minutes early. You know why? Because they made the time the same as our time. Isn't God good? That they said, we're going to push it back an hour. So it's going to start at 8 in Chattanooga, 7 o'clock your time. So I'm looking around. I'm saying to myself, why am I so early? Because God worked that thing out. But I said to myself, now I got to enjoy the moment. Because if you're driving from here to Chattanooga, that's some beautiful scenery out there. that you go across Mount Eagle Mountain and you look across and the leaves are about to change right now. So I'm saying to myself, don't miss the moment and enjoy the moment. And here's the next part of it, y'all. You got to be grateful. You got to be grateful that you got a car that makes it from Murfreesboro to Chattanooga. You got to be grateful that you ain't ran out of gas. You got to be grateful that your tires ain't popped on top of that Mount Eagle Mountain. Making sure that you enjoy the moment and be grateful. So that's what's helped me. Now, so if I'm ordering food at a restaurant, I'm just trying to help y'all because God has helped me. You got to thank God for the people around the table that you're eating with. So enjoy the moment. Don't worry about when the food coming. I'm just so glad that I got people around the table that love me. God, thank you for my wife. God, thank you for my friends. God, I'm grateful and enjoying the moment of the people around me. And here it is that I'm saying that I got to be grateful. I'm grateful when they send the bill that I can pay it. I ain't got to go back and wash dishes. I ain't got to ask them to, can I sweep the floor? I'm grateful that God has given me the means to pay for this meal. Enjoy the moment. Be grateful. If I'm standing in line at the grocery store, I gotta first thank God that I can stand up on my own two legs. Because there's some folks who can't get around like they used to, that they can't move like they want to move. And so I got to thank God that I can stand on my own two legs. But then they get me to reminiscing. And not only do I thank God that I can stand up, but then I got to thank God that I got clothes on my back. That I thank God that I got a roof over my head. I got shoes on my feet. God, thank you. And let me enjoy the moment. And then I'm grateful that God, you've put food in my refrigerator. God, you've been so good to me. So enjoy the moment and be grateful. That'll help you be more patient. That'll help you be more patient. And in today's text, the prophet Isaiah not only tells us to be patient, but he gives us reasons, y'all, why we should wait on the Lord. He doesn't just say be patient, but then he gives us some reasons in verse number 28 why we should wait on the Lord. Here it is. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah tells us, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Do you really know who God is what Isaiah's saying. It's that. I know you got to have known about him. I know that you have to heard about him. Do you really know who God is? And here's what Isaiah puts forth to us. Number one, he says, is that he is the everlasting God. That's good right there. That he is the everlasting God. He has no beginning and he has no end. That he is above time. He is somebody that the past, the present, and the future has no bearing on him. That he will protect you and love you forever. He is the everlasting God. That's good for folks who, if you ever had somebody walk out on you that said they're going to always be your friend, if you ever had somebody that said you can count on me, and then when you need them, you couldn't find them, God is the everlasting God. That whenever you call him, he always going to be there. Whenever you need him, he's right there. He is the everlasting God. But that ain't all Isaiah says. He says that he is the Lord. Don't run by that now. Don't run by that. He said he is the Lord. I believe there's three words for me that accurately depict this word Lord. There's three words: sovereign, also strength, and then power. Sovereign, strength, power. So when he says the Lord, sovereign means that he is the supreme ruler and ultimate authority. That the Lord, that Isaiah says, is that he's going to have the last word. We was talking about in Bible study how folks will bring up your past and talk about who you used to be. I'm so glad they ain't got the last word. I'm so glad that God is my Lord. He is the sovereign authority and he has the last word. I'm so glad at Judgment Day it's going to be him standing there. I'm so glad it ain't folks who talked about me, who ran me down, who said I ain't going to never be nothing. I'm glad that he is the sovereign rule. He says that he has strength. He has the ability now, y'all, to perform the action needed to be done. Y'all remember a couple weeks ago when I said that the only people you ask to borrow money from or ask to do something for you is the people who have the ability to do it? Y'all remember that, right? So when you're talking to God, you're talking to somebody who has the power and that you know will show up right when you need it. And so he has the ability in order to perform the action needed. Now here it is, this last part. Not only strength, but he has power. Power really refers to the capacity now to influence the behavior of other people or things and direct the course of events. What do you mean, Brother Nelson, is that God has power in order to change people from who they used to be into somebody different. God has the power to change your cussing into blessing. God has the power in order to change your late nights into early mornings in the Bible study. God has the power to change people, but he just doesn't have the power of people. He has the power over everything, y'all. Here it is in Matthew 8:27 that the Bible says that, so the men marvel, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's what kind of power we're talking about in the Lord. That the winds and the sea, if God tells the rain to stop, it gotta stop. If God tells the wind to stop blowing, it gotta stop blowing. Listen, I'm crazy enough to believe that on Wednesday, when I told y'all that our fall festival is on Saturday and there's a 20% chance of rain, I'm just crazy enough to believe that a few of y'all got on y'all knees and you prayed to God and said, God, intercede on our behalf. God, make this weather move on. God, give us a beautiful day. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that God answered our prayers. That God made the cloud roll away, that he stopped the rain from coming. And he said, because my children have talked to me and let me know what they need, I'm going to give you a good day. And that's just what God did. He has the power, y'all. So when we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about somebody who has sovereign ability, strength, and power. And ain't all Isaiah says. I'm still in verse 28. He says that he's the everlasting God. He's the Lord. Then he says that he's the creator. Y'all saw that, right? The creator. If God created you and me, the entire world and the universe, I just think it makes sense to wait on the one who created us to tell us what we need to do next. I just think that, y'all, that if he created us, the universe, the world, that we ought to wait and make sure that he tells us what to do and how to move. See, here's another point to understand is that God created us, y'all, and he did it not through force or coercion, that God did it because he wanted to do it. See, it's something different that when it is that you do something that you want to do. I don't want nobody to cook for me who don't want to cook. If Sister Nelson come in the house and her head hurt, no, baby, that's all right. No, cook nothing today. Don't cook nothing today. Because food tastes different when it got some love in it. When my grandma used to get in the kitchen and she used to sing a song, oh, I knew that was good food. I didn't care what she was cooking. But because she was singing, I knew that there was love in that pot. See, there's something different about when somebody does something because they love you instead of because they have to. God created us because he wanted to do it, because he loved us, because he cares so much about us. The psalmist would say it like this, is that I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That the psalmist would tell us that to understand that God is the creative force behind our existence, y'all. So whatever is going on in our life, we got to know, just wait on the Lord. Whatever you're going through, whatever season you're in, just wait on the Lord. Then he says in verse number 29, verse 29 and 30, Isaiah 40, the Bible says this, is that he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases the strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. What Isaiah is telling us right there in verse 29, 30 is this, y'all, that all of us need God. Amen. All of us need God. That's from the pulpit to the back row. That all of us need God. And he also tells us in verse 29, he says that God is a giver. He's a giver, that he gives power. See, he doesn't just give us power, but he gives us power when we need it the most. When you really need God, God will step in. God will help you. God will give you the power that you need. He says that he gives us strength. When you're at the place where you feel like you're about to give up, you're about to throw in a towel, God will give you the strength to keep on moving a little further. That he says that he can help us make it, that when it is that we have no might, he will give you the strength that you need. God is a good God, y'all. That he is a giver. And all of us got to know that we need God. When you got money in your pocket and when you're broke, you need God. When you're feeling well and you're flat on your back, you need God. Do not miss it, that we all need God. See, and then he brings us to verse number 30, because he knows this, is that the younger you are, the less you feel like you need God. That's just the honest truth. Is that when you're young, you feel like you're invincible. You feel like that you can get on top of a building and just jump off. I remember a funny little story that I don't know how I got there, but I said, me and my brothers and my cousins, we thought it would be fun to get on top of my uncle's roof and just take turns jumping off. Now, how crazy is that? But we were teenagers. And so the whole point about that is that we were saying to ourselves, if you do it, I'll do it. If you can do it, I can do it. And some folks jumping off and they land on their feet. Oh, look at me. You think you're invincible when you're young. But the older you get, you start to understand that, you know what? Things just don't work like they used to work. See, when you're young, you feel like your whole life is ahead of you and you can make it all by yourself, that you got vigor and vitality, and you feel like that you don't need nobody, you can handle it all by yourself, and you say foolish stuff like that sometimes. But as you get older, you understand that all of us need God. And what happens is this, is that God gives us these reminders because he just lets you keep on living. And there was one time, Willie Earl, you just jump out the bed. Now, you lay there and think about it for a while. Woo! I want to get up. I want to get up. And then you just don't stop there. You get on the side of the bed and think about it for a little while. Because you understand that God reminds us that as we get older, that we need him more and more. And he says, but now young men and the youth, that they got to understand that whether you 18 or whether you're 78, all of us need God. So before you make a move, don't you do anything without waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're middle-aged, don't make a move without first waiting on the Lord. Then in verse 31, the Bible says, but those who wait on the Lord, this good preaching right here, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think it's worth reading again. That those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah compares those who wait on the Lord as eagles. It is an intentional analogy. It's an intentional analogy, but the only way that you really grasp the whole gist of it is that you got to know a little bit about eagles. Because God could have chose anything to compare those who wait on the Lord to. But he intentionally inspires Isaiah to pen these words and say they will be like eagles. So here it is, y'all. Let me help you. Is that eagles are born with big, heavy wings. And as they learn to fly, one of the first things they are taught as they learn to fly is how to fly rather, without flapping their wings. It's an important part of understanding what an eagle does. It's that an eagle, listen, the reason why, I know you're looking at me like, why is that, Brother Nelson? It's because the eagle's wings are so heavy and they're so big. It's that actually, if they flap their wings too much, they can kill themselves because of the power of their wings. I know you want to make it make sense to you. See, here it is. The reason why he compares us to eagles is because under our own power, under our own strength, under our own might, you'll kill yourself trying to do it all by yourself. That you can't fly on your own. You can't move on your own. But what we got to do is we got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit got to move me this way. The Holy Spirit got to take me this way. I need the Holy Spirit to direct my life. I can't be out here flapping on my own. I can't be out here moving on my own. I've got to let the Spirit guide me. So he says that we're like eagles when we wait on the Lord. Because we're not moving under our own strength. But that ain't all. The eagles are in a higher elevation. And they fly where no other birds can fly. It has been scientifically proven that eagles actually sometimes fly where airplanes fly. That they are up that high. See, listen, if we're going to follow the Lord, y'all, we got to wait on him to take us to places that we can't even imagine. See, you can't be content with staying on the ground. You got to be like an eagle and say, God, I want to go as high as you take me. God, I want to fly as high as you're going to take me. And understand this. God, when I get up there with the airplanes, when I get to them high heights, I ain't going to forget who brought me here. Because it ain't through my own power. It ain't through my own might. It ain't through my own strength. It's God that brought me to this place. You can't stay on the ground with the pigeons. That's where the pigeons at. You go to the park, throw a bunch of stuff out there, pigeons stay down there. That's where they want to be. They want to be on the ground. But I want to be an eagle. And Isaiah says that we are like eagles. Because here it is, y'all. Is that when God elevates you, because you got to wait on God to do it now. When God elevates you, it's worth the wait, y'all. That you ain't going to never say, oh, I'm tired. No, when God takes you to the place where he's trying to take you, I promise you it's worth the wait. So not only are the eagles have to use the air and the wind to guide them and they really glide. Not only are they at higher elevations, but here it is that eagles, y'all, are faithful for life. Faithful for life. This is crazy. I was looking this up as I was preparing for my sermon, and I didn't even know this. But listen, eagles only mate with one partner for their entire life. That once an eagle connects with another eagle, that is the only person or only bird they mate with for the rest of their life. Now, I ain't trying to talk about marriage real quick. I'm going another direction. I'm going another direction. And I ain't talking about who y'all mate with right now. That's going to be another sermon. But what I'm talking about is faithfulness. It's that once you say that I'm going to serve God till the day I die, that ought to mean something. That once you commit to the sovereign, the supreme, the holy, the powerful God, that I'm in this for a lifetime. Isaiah uses this analogy of an eagle to help us know that God will take you to places that you can't get by yourself. That God will direct you and allow you to fly, not even in your own power. That when you are faithful to God, it's going to bless your life. He says that we have to be like eagles. Mount up wings like eagles. And we have to, y'all, one more time, wait on the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, he will give you what you need. When you wait on the Lord, he will allow you to run rather and not be weary. He allow you to walk and not faint. God will wake you up early the next morning. Ready to come to worship, ready and excited about. See, God will give you the energy that you need. God will give you what you need. He'll give you what you need. So we gotta understand that God will take care of us. I'm almost done. There's a story that's told about a man that's in the supermarket with a crying baby. Crying baby. So the baby is crying. The baby is crying uncontrollably, and he's just trying to, he's trying to soothe the baby, and he keeps patting on the baby, says, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." And the baby just keeps on crying and won't stop crying. He, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." And so a little time passed, and people are starting to look, and people starting to kind of wonder what's going on. And there's one lady that looks at him interestingly and said, "Wow, that's a good man right there. I mean, he's in here, and he got this baby, and the baby's crying uncontrollably, but he just keep on saying, 'Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert.'" So the lady comes up to the man and says, "I just want to commend you. I know your baby's having a tough day. I don't know what's going on, but I want to commend you that you're just doing a wonderful job and just consoling and soothing that baby and saying, 'Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert.'" He tells the lady, "I'm Albert. I just want you to know that as you wait on the Lord, there's going to be stuff to come your way. But just keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Brother Nelson. Keep calm, Sister Bellafont. Keep calm, Brother Cliff, because you can't control what happens. You can't control crying babies. You can't control jobs being lost. You can't control children or spouses. You can't control none of that. So just whisper to yourself, just keep calm in this situation. Keep calm in this situation, because I can't control none of that. But what I can control is myself. I'm not going to go crazy because everybody else is going crazy. I'm not going to act a fool because everybody else is acting a fool. I'm just going to keep calm and wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord." And so that's what we got to understand, is that that's what Isaiah is trying to help us to understand, is that we have to wait on the Lord. And I get it, y'all. It ain't always easy to wait on the Lord. It ain't always convenient to wait on the Lord. It don't always make sense to wait on the Lord. But I promise you, that Isaiah says, if you just wait on him, that you'll be like eagles that mount up their wings. that you'll be able to say at the end of the day that I serve a faithful God, because he was with me. He took care of me. And I just stayed calm through the process and let God take care of my life. I'm done. There may be someone here among us that needs prayer on this morning. Prayer changes things. Reason why we start our month in prayer is that we know that prayer moves things. And we saw it, the evidence of prayer, how it works in our lives and how God blesses and helps and takes care of us. So we invite you to ask for prayer. For those who are not members of the body of Christ, you hadn't made a commitment to him, you ought to decide today that I'm going to give my life to Christ. Put my past in the past. I'm moving forward with him. I'm willing today to confess he is the Son of God. Be willing to go down the water grace of baptism. Live a life faithful even in the face of situations. I said before, you can't control situations. You can't control life. You can't control stuff that happened. But what you can control is you. Amen. So you stay faithful to God. You stay connected to God. Because God ain't never moved and he never will move. He is always going to be right there. We just got to make sure that we stay connected to him.